I'd like us to think this morning just from the inspired writers of the Old Testament and the New Testament to the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, that His creation, God's creation, speaks to us. We know when we've listened to, and most of us remember, like the small mustard seed that Jesus used, or this the example of a small ant and how industrious it is, even to the big fish that swallowed a man and then spit him out on dry ground later. We think about the birds of the sky and the creatures of the sea. We look at and we've heard lessons and we've seen words and read words about water and rock and water that came from a rock. We looked at a lamb to a lion and even heard of a talking donkey. A small child to young men and maidens to aged men and women. From a prostitute to a righteous king, from a small house built on sand or on a rock to a magnificent temple, trees from olive trees to fig trees. We've read about a wicked queen and a virtuous wife. And we've looked at God's word speaks, as we sung in this song earlier, of the sun and the moons and the stars, the magnificence of heaven and all that is there. And then we've talked about and we've heard stories, and we'll talk about it this morning, from soils that God and Jesus used soils as examples for us to learn from a poor soil all the way to a rich soil that brings forth much fruit. And so as we go through this, we want to think about what Jesus taught this morning. We just sang that song. He says that I am the vine. And when you look at this image on the screen, it's a vine. It's full of luscious grapes. Ones that have been taken care of and cultivated, and they came from those things. And so we look at that, and then Jesus goes and he says, I am the vine. I am the vine. And so as we go through this and we look at it, we think about the vines, and we think about the, when we look at pictures of vineyards, and sometimes these pictures like this one on the screen right now are beautiful, well manicured, there's nothing around, everything that the owners do to take care of it. And we find that we learn from these pictures and we learn from the vine how to obey God. And so we see the grain, you know, just the grapes and the just how luscious they are. And they grow in all kinds of terrain. And they're taken care of by men that go out and they prune them and they cultivate them and they take off the dead branches. And so we learn these things in God's word. We're going to read about this in John in just a few minutes. But there's painstaking. People that want to have a bountiful harvest, it takes work. You just don't plant vineyards and vines and just let them go on their own. It takes effort if you're going to reap the harvest. And so as we go through this, I just want us to think about this and look at these beautiful pictures and the work that goes into it. And so when we look at this morning, we're going to talk about from John 15, verses 1 through 8. And this is where we learn that Jesus said that I am the vine. And not only the vine, he says, I am the true vine. And my Father is the vine dresser. And so I think that statement in and of itself is very important for us to remember that Jesus is the true vine, but then we can't forget that the Father is the vine dresser. He goes on to say that every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. Abide in me. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, and neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. And we've talked about that, and we've sung songs about bearing fruit. Bob read about the fruit of the Spirit. Those are things that need to be cultivated and bear. We need to bear those things in our life. And he says, For without me, he says, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified. By this my Father is glorified. How is that? That you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. And this goes back to what we were talking about, bearing fruit. Galatians, Paul talking to the Galatians in 5, verse 22, he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against there is no law. There's no law against those things. There's only laws against things that we might transgress God's word and sin. But that's part of the fruit of the Spirit. Are these things, and they need to be in our lives. And I just want us to think about that. And I want you to just go through this as we look at the vine and things that God used in nature that he created for us. Here Jesus is taking these things and giving us as an example. But then you look at people that are experienced in taking care of vines and dressing them and taking care of all these things. I'd like us to think about three lessons that we can learn from the vine. Lesson number one is that grapevines require full sun to activate the flower blossoms. And without sufficient sunlight, the flower buds won't develop properly. And I want to go back and just think about it, and we're going to see that in just a second, this picture. Remember, we looked at this vineyard and just how there was... everything was cleared away so those leaves and those vines could get the sunlight. And so we find that here is that grapevines require sun, not partial sun, cloudy, but full sun. And so we see this as we talked about before. When you look at this design, these bushes here are getting full sun. Now we'll look at some pictures that aren't as clean, as pretty as this, but yet they still take care of them. And so they said that in order for them to germinate, in order for them to start to produce the flower and then to produce the seeds all the way to where they start producing grapes, they need the sun. John 8, verse 12, when he says that Jesus spoke to them and said again to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And so just like those grapevines need full light, we need the light of Jesus. And Jesus said he was or is the light of the world. He goes on also to say that for everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds are exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds or his works may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. And so we find that those who come to Jesus want the light. Those who are evil in this world, and we talked about it in our class this morning, about evil men and all the things that they do, they don't want to know anything about the light or how to be good in this world. All their thoughts are and their cares are on evil. But Jesus said that the good person comes to the light, that his deeds might be clearly seen and that they're done in God. 1 John 2 and verse 10, he says that he who loves his brother abides in the light, and there's no cause for stumbling in him. And it's interesting that he says that he who loves his brother abides in the light. We abide in the love of Christ. We abide in the love of God when we love our brother. And so we abide in the light of Christ when we do that. And I want you to think also in lesson number two of the vine. Because he goes on and says, grapevines thrive in warm, well-drained, rich soil. They're not going to grow on rocks. They're not going to grow where they have no water. But he says grapevines thrive in warm, well-drained, rich soil. If the soil doesn't contain the proper amount of nutrients and or water, the vine may put all of its energy into foliage instead of the flowers and the fruit, or the vine may become totally unfruitful. And so just like in our life, we need proper nutrition. We need the Word of God, as Danny had brought up in our class this morning, that we need to look. We need to find people that are looking to study God's Word. We need to be studying it. But if we don't, we can become just like this vine right here. It's dead. It doesn't receive the proper nutrients. And so what are they going to do with it? They're going to cut it down and they're going to throw it away. Matthew, Jesus says, therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches it away what was sown in his heart. And this is he who receives seed by the wayside. We talked about this before, is that God uses things that we can see and that we can understand. A farmer understands that he needs to have good soil, he needs to have water, he needs those things to take care of his plants for them to grow and to flourish. But God's word is the same. Jesus talked about four soils, and we find one here is that the seed fell by the wayside. It didn't do anything. It didn't have the nutrients that it needed. And he says, but he who received the sower of the seed on the stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet it has no root in him, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation and persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. How many of us have known people that wanted to understand and obey the gospel? And they obey the gospel, and what happens? Some people fall away immediately. They want the word, but then all of a sudden it's just like this, the seed that fell on the stony places. It has no place to take root. They don't cultivate their heart to receive the word of God, and therefore they stumble and fall away. He continues, he says, now he who received the soil among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. And that's the other thing, is that sometimes we may start out strong, or we may know people that did, but then all of a sudden the cares of this world begin to take hold and just choke them out. They get more concerned about everything that's in this world except for eternal life. This life is not all that we have. And our goal should be to go to heaven. And therefore, we need to make sure that our focus and our perspective is right on what this world has to offer. But then he goes on to say, but he says that he who received the seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it. And that's the thing that we need to do, is that when we hear the word of God, we need to make sure that we understand it. We know that God says that my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And so some people don't want knowledge, but he says, it's he who hears the word and understands it. That's the good heart. That's the good soil. Who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. And I think we see that God understands us. Jesus knows us, because everybody's heart and everybody's ability to learn is different. But he says, look, he who understands it indeed bears fruit. Everybody has the ability to bear fruit. Some people have the ability to produce more fruit. But it doesn't mean that that fruit is not useful to God and doesn't give glory to God. So think about your life and my life. What is our fruit? What are we producing? Is that our vineyard? Galatians 6, verses 7 and 8 says, do not be deceived. He's talking to you. Don't be deceived. We talked about that a little bit this morning in our Bible class in 2 Timothy, when he said that, you know, that some are deceiving and being deceived. Not only the ones that are deceiving, but they're also being deceived. Paul said to the Galatians, don't be deceived. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. And so we will reap what we sow. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And so we need to understand, we need to figure out, what are we sowing to? Are we just sowing for this world's goods? Are we sowing for eternal life? And so we need to realize that we will reap exactly what we sow. Lesson number 3 on the vines is that grapevines need to be pruned to get rid of diseased branches. The trimmings are burned to protect the good branches. And that's something that, you know, when I first learned this, I thought it was kind of interesting. They don't just go prune it and stick it right beside where they pruned those bushes. They take them and they take them away and then they burn them. And it says that to get rid of the diseased branches, he says the trimmings are burned to protect the good branches. And so we need to realize that, is that we need to get rid of those things that are bad in our life. And he says the vine dresser also prunes back the leaves to improve air circulation, to allow more sunlight around the branch to promote growth. And that's what God is doing with our lives. He's helping prune things, the bad stuff out of our lives, or we will let him, so we can go ahead and continue to grow. And it says here is that it improves air circulation to allow more sunlight around the branch to promote growth. And so we find that there's a lot of work that goes into maintaining a vineyard. And so we find these people trimming their branches to get rid of it. If not, this is what's going to happen. The disease is going to take over, and then all of a sudden their fruit is going to be bad. We don't want bad fruit. We want good fruit. Jesus said in Matthew, the 12th chapter, and verse 33, he says, make either the tree good and its fruit good. And so we can look at this with respect to the vine, is that we need to make the vine good and its fruit good, our fruit. He goes on to say, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. And if we're not careful, our fruit can look like this. Our fruit is useless. It's not useful for the kingdom of God. He continues, says, for a tree is known by its fruit. And so we know, we can look at ourselves in the mirror, we can see what kind of tree or what kind of vine we are. We can find, we can look at it and tell where we are if we will look closely at ourselves. And people can look at your life. They can tell what kind of fruit you bear just by looking at how you live your life. The Hebrew writer said in chapter 12, verse 11, he says, no chastening seems to be joyful for the moment, but painful. It's interesting when we talk about, and there's those who have young kids, and we've all, and those of us who are older, have had young children. It's not something that's enjoyable to discipline your children or to be disciplined by your parent. But he says that no chastening seems to be joyful for the parent, but for the present, but painful. But nevertheless, he says, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. And therefore, we need to remember that, you know, God, when he chases us, there's a reason why. Because he wants us to become fruitful. He wants us to get rid of the dead stuff in our life and fill it with the living word and the things that would make us more profitable in his sight. So we need to continue to be cultivated and pruned. Paul, writing to the Galatians chapter 3, verse 27, beginning, he says, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And so we find here that this reading is, how does one get into Christ? Is to be baptized into him. He says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, you are all one in Jesus Christ. And so it goes back to the very beginning. I am the true vine and you are the branches. If we've been obedient to the word of God and obeyed the gospel, we are part of that one true vine. And God will be the vine dresser and he'll take care of us. There's no difference in us. We're all members of that one body. And he says, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. So we're all branches of the true branch, unless our branch has been removed because we have stopped bearing fruit. And we see earlier how these vine dressers go out and they prune everything that's dead. They get rid of all that stuff and then they burn it. They don't keep it around. Paul, writing to the Colossians in chapter 1, verse 9, he says, for this reason we also, since the day we have heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Paul's prayer was for them to be filled with the knowledge of his will in all understanding, spiritual wisdom. He wanted them to be filled so they could be productive and they could glorify God and they could produce much fruit. It continues in Colossians, says that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Being fruitful in every good work. That's what he wants to see in us. That's what Paul wanted to see in the Colossians. That was his prayer for them, that they would walk worthy, that they would be fully pleasing to God, and that they would be fruitful. And so we see that, what are good works? Some might say, well, what are those good works? And we can look at the scriptures, James writing to them, and says, therefore, to him who knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. For those of us who know what to do, that good work that we should be doing, and we see that there's a need there, something that we should be doing, and we don't do it, we need to realize that that's sin. James said, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. So how are you going to know what's good and what's wrong? You got to know what God's word tells us, what it teaches us, that we might be fruitful. Paul, writing to the Philippians, he says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. And so we find here, is this a good work? It's a good work for us to put others first. Sometimes that's the thing for us. Maybe we don't want to do it. You know, going back to that, we see something that needs to be done and we don't do it, it's sin. But why do we do that? Why do people do that? It's because of selfish ambition and conceit. But Paul says, look, in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. And so for us to be fruitful, we need to put others first. The Hebrew writer said in 13, verse 16, he says, and do not forget to do good and to share with such sacrifices God is well pleased. And so once again, we see this esteeming others better than ourselves. But he says, don't forget to do good and to share. So we got to do good. And then this word share, that means the things that I have, I don't want to hoard them to myself. We remember the rich man and he had those barns and he goes, oh, I need to tear these barns down and build greater barns. You know, he was hoarding everything. I've done this. I've done this. I need to do this. And God said, you fool. Tonight, your life is going to be required of you. He wasn't sharing. And so we need to do good and to share. That's a good work for us. And then Timothy, Paul writing to him, we talk about this early in one of our Bible studies on Sunday morning, going back to the sharing, he says, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty. And that's the problem that we have sometimes when we see people that have a lot of this world's goods. They're haughty. Their manner of life is. They look down at others. And he says, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. Don't trust in those things which will disappear. The things that we have today can be taken away from us tomorrow. It reminds me of these people that are in California. And it's been terrible to just watch day after day these fires just burning and burning. And you just, next thing you know, as you look at these pictures after the fires have gone, it's nothing. It's just devastating. And I used to think as I saw those pictures of these people, everything in their whole life, everything taken away in just a matter of minutes. And so, but the thing that was impressive to me sometimes is when you see people and they were, you know, interviewing people, and a husband and a wife and their two children standing there, and they say, we may have lost everything, but we have us, we have our family. But not everybody was lucky like that. Some people lost their families and their animals, their pets, in these fires. But for me, when I looked at it, I'm going like, the people that lived there, it was like in a living hell. They're suffering now because everything they've had taken has been taken care, away from them, right? But they still have their life. And all that stuff that's around them that they thought was important, not as important as their life of their family and friends. So command those who are rich in this present world not to be haughty nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. God's going to provide for those things for us that we need. Jesus even told us that. You know, look how he cares for the birds. He's going to take care of you. Food and clothing, he's going to provide those things for you. And he says, let them do good. Those who are rich in this world's good. And another thing that's interesting to me is that the word rich is relative. That word is a relative word, right? I used to think, man, the scary thing for me when I think about it is what happens if I had $100 million? What happens if I had $500 million? What if I had $1 billion? You know what scares me about that? Is what am I going to do with that? What am I going to do with that? I can't even imagine trying to get rid of $1 billion. I think, there's ways that we can do it really quickly. But just think about the pressure that would be on you if you had that and you're saying, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty nor to trust in uncertain riches. So what do I do with my $1 billion? And I start thinking, $1 billion sounds pretty good. I don't want it. There's too much pressure that comes along with it. There's too many things that could turn me away from God and turn me to that $1 billion. And so he goes on, he says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those of the household of faith. Let us do good. You want good works? Do good to others. Provide for those things that they might not be able to. And look at the world. But then he says, but especially to those who are of the household of faith. We have this relationship that the world doesn't have. And it's interesting, though, when you see people suffer like the people did in California, the people in Georgia and North Carolina through these hurricanes. There are a lot of people that are reaching out to help them, and they're doing good. But he says, especially the household of faith, you have a relationship that the world doesn't have. They have things. You have God. So opportunity may knock only once. Are you there? I have an opportunity. Opportunity may only knock once, but temptation leans on that doorbell. You're not going to live a day in your life that you're not going to be tempted. And sometimes we fall prey to that temptation. That we fall. We just, it's too good. But it's going to come. Temptation's not going to go away. It's going to be with us till the day that we die. So Peter says, now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? It takes work. It takes effort to remain faithful to God. Like I just said, there's too many temptations around us that keep trying to draw us away. And we've got to focus all of our attention on our heart. We've got to be able to have a mindset that heaven is our goal. This world is not our home. In 1 Peter, Peter goes on, he says, therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful creator. These things, God asks us and tells us to do certain things, sometimes they're not easy. But he goes on, he says, let those who suffer. It's not like every day is going to be just a bed of roses. Let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good. Our obligation is to God and to do good. And he will take care of us. He is the faithful servant. I mean, we are should be faithful servants to him, our master. So as I close out this lesson this morning, I want you to remember it's not just a religion. The world has many religions. But what we have is not just a religion. It's a relationship. It's a relationship that we have with Jesus. It's a relationship that we have with God the Father. It's a relationship that we have with each other that the world doesn't have. And so we need to remember that. It's not a religion. Going to church for some people is that's just part of their quote-unquote religion. Ours is to be a relationship. And the relationship begins with the true vine. Remember when we started this, John said, Jesus, I am the true vine. And so our relationship with God and his Son, it starts with Jesus. It starts with being buried in Christ. But the one thing that we need to remember, but its end is in the hands of the vine dresser. The vine dresser is there to prune, either to get rid of dead fruit, dead branches, in order for us to help us grow. But the end, our end, is in the hands of the vine dresser. So what is your relationship with the true vine and the vine dresser? That's the question I have with myself, and my question to you this morning is, what is your relationship with God, his Son? Is it where it needs to be? And if it's not, then you need to correct your life. And if you've never been brought into that vine, you've never been part of that true vine, being part of that, being baptized and buried in the water and becoming part of Christ, his body, then you have an opportunity to do those things this morning. So if there's anything that we can do to assist you in any of these matters, or just pray for you, just let us know.